Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Been a massive week in cricket as always. I tell you what, it is Brad Hodge down. He's been struck by appendicitis. He's out of the BBL potentially. He did send out a tweet that was we'll talk about a little bit later here. But joining me today is comedy extraordinaire. He's a massive sports fan. He's an author. He is the cousin of Australian coach Darren Lehman, Anthony Limo Lehman.
Lehman, it's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, how's your cuz going?
Mike, I'd tell you a funny story. Years ago, I was at Adelaide Oval on the hill, and I went down. And this is when, this is early 90s. So Boof had been 12th man for a test match, ooh, but hadn't yet been picked for Australia, but was making waves.
Yeah.
Super young cricketer.
And a massive man in South Australia.
In South Australia, it was huge because we didn't, South Australia didn't have many test cricketers over
not
the years.
Not at that time.
So we clung hard to any potential we got. And I was down in the toilet and some guy was banging on about something. I can't remember how it came up. And I'd had a few and I just turned to him and say, oh, I said, Darren Lehman's my cousin. Now, and I'm embarrassed to admit that. Like, I'm embarrassed. And this guy goes, yeah, sure. So I pull out my license and I show him my license because our last name's spelt the same.
And he goes, he'd take it, wouldn't he?
No, he goes, oh, really? Because I'm from Gawler and I know the family. of course I get busted.
The chances of that.
The chances. So then, years later, I see Boof, probably with you, right? Yeah. Back when you were playing for the Redbacks. And then Boof goes, oh, are you still pretending to be my cousin? So word had clearly gotten back to Boof and he'd remembered for like 10 or plus years or whatever.
Because how many is Lehman's, is it a common name in South Australia?
It is. There are a lot of Lehman's in South Australia. Peter Lehman Wines. Troy Lehman from Wakery played footy for Collingwood and Brisbane, I think. And that was a real, and Kim Lehman, his dad, was a great footballer for North Adelaide in South Australia. And then there's our lot of Lehmans. There's a whole stack of Lehmans around the state.
So it wasn't as... I thought that was good, throwing it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, you got done.
I made a complete tool of myself.
And so you're filling in for Hodgie.
I am filling in. Now, you said appendicitis.
Yes.
I've got a massive question mark over that.
Why?
Well, you know I do some work at Channel 10. I'm very close to what goes on at 10. I've got a feeling Hodgie might be going to the South African jungle.
Are you serious? would make sense. Hodge in the jungle.
Is there any chance?
I reckon we might have to get onto that. I'll ring him from his deathbed and just say, because if you're trying to put them off the scent that you're going into the jungle to get your appendicitis, what about the commitment of that? Getting your appendicitis out, it wasn't even sore, to throw him off the Big Bash so he's going in the jungle.
He's had his appendix removed just to throw out a little distraction to one side while he sneaks off to South Africa. Well, Freddie Flintoff won it in season one. So we know cricketers perform well in the jungle.
Yes.
He's familiar with South Africa.
Mervyn Hughes is still there. He just stayed. He's scaring animals away.
Merv did not want to leave. He's currently being protected by a bunch of rangers in a South African jungle.
Gee, I like what you're thinking there. Imagine Hodge would be really good. He's got a bit of Dane Swan about him in his personality.
Yeah.
You know, quirky humour. And he's happy to call people out.
And Bernard Tomic has left the jungle. He's walked.
So what's your vibe on that?
He's
not known as a quitter, is he?
I really want to like Bernard Tomic. Like, I genuinely
Well, I
do.
Did too. As soon as he got in there, I just thought this could be actually good for him. You know, surrounded by a different group of people. And no doubt, you know, with Josh Gibson and people like that, they'd actually try and mentor him a bit, but that didn't last too long.
I thought Gibbo was trying to get the best out of him. But he just, I mean, he's not, he doesn't seem like a bloke with a lot of resilience. The Tomic. And, you know, and he said, I didn't watch the show, but apparently he said he's suffering depression. So, you know, if there's a mental health issue, then you've got to respect that. But he's not winning a lot of friends along the way.
No. Okay. I'll tell you who's winning friends. Well, well, I've got you on too, even though we're good mates. Massive sports fan. We're both barrack for Hawthorn, but you've always loved your cricket.
Yes.
You always loved your cricket. So growing up, idols, you know, who inspired you to play? Or?
Oh, well, I mean, because I was South Australian, because I am South Australian, Ian Chappell.
Yes.
Initially, very first for me.
What a legend.
What a legend. David Hooks after that.
Yep, legend.
And Boof, really, after that. And those three all mentored each other too. Chappelli mentored Hooksy, Hooksy mentored Boof.
Yep.
And then we had bits and pieces along the way. Rick Darling.
You're going with Rick Darling.
Rick Darling. I love Peter Sleep.
What did you like about Rick Darling? Was it he's running between the wickets with Graham Wood?
With Graham Wood.
Because we're going to be looking at some footage of a T20 competition in Dubai later on. There's a little bit of Woody and Darling about the running between the wickets.
I don't think a batting partnership has used the words yes, no, sorry more than Rick Darling and Graham Wood the years. Peter Sleep.
See, I played against Sounder a lot. He was an underrated player.
He was a great cricketer. He's got a Test 90 under his belt. I mean, he was an all-rounder, really, Sounder. He's got a few. You're right.
I'm just throwing stuff everywhere here.
Flem's trying to stand up a mobile phone. It's a Midvale school for the gifted here.
That's not one of my highlights. As I'm recording it here too. Yeah, but why Sounder though? Was it just because he was South Australian?
Because he was South Australian. So one of the things I loved about Rick Darling, he was a Wakery boy, so a country lad who was one of the people, loved a beer, super talented. But Rick Darling, here's an interesting stat for you, played 14 tests over 2 years and that was it.
And he career was really over, young too, wasn't he?
23 when he finished. 14 test matches. And then Peter Sleep debuted 1 year after. They're the same age, Rick Darling and Peter Sleep. He debuted 1 year after Rick Darling, played for 12 years, 14 test matches.
Good trivia.
So they played the same number of test matches. Darling over 2 years.
Who was the better test player, do you feel? They're not in the greats, but...
They're not in the greats.
I remember Sounder actually spinning out the Poms in a Sydney test.
He took, I reckon, 5 for 72.
Okay.
In Sydney in 1987, when we weren't great.
We used to get pumped and then we'd play three spinners in Sydney.
Yes.
And lose the series 4-1 or 3-1.
Yeah. Same, we got pumped.
Finish on a high, though.
Yeah, there we won Sydney.
Peter Taylor debuted in one of those. I don't know if it was that test.
Peter Taylor and who was the other? Bruce Yardley.
Oh, I reckon it'd be Greg Matthews.
Matthews around then as well. So... we had a lot of spinners, but there wasn't a Warnie in amongst them.
No, but so you've gone Sounder, Rick Darling. Give us a third.
I'll give you a third. Not a South Australian this time, because we've now run out of South Australians. Victorians whinge about
me. Hoggy, but he was Victorian.
No, we claimed Hoggy as a South Australian. Victorians whinge about having no players in the Australian side. You try being South Australian.
Yeah, I know.
Let's remember it was David Hooks was the man who said... that when you get picked for New South Wales, there's a second cap in the brown paper bag right there. Great South Australian, Hooksy. But my third, I'm going for Mick Malone.
I love Mick Malone.
Played one test match for Australia.
What a test match.
At the Oval in 1977. He batted once and made 46.
Was it not out too? Did he have an average?
He got out. Okay. He got out. So... his test average is 46 with the bat, and he took 6 for 77 with the ball. So his bowling average is 12.8. That's his one test match ever.
Average 46 with the bat, 12 with the ball. He's the greatest all-rounder that has ever played the game. And I remember in World Series cricket too, he bowled that. Remember that last ball to Wayne Daniel, and got hit for six.
Wayne Daniels hit him for six. And it was one of those, this was back in the day when stepping outside leg was a big thing. Yeah. You know when batsmen tried to give themselves room?
Yeah.
So Daniels, I can still, for some reason...
And he followed him, didn't he?
He followed him, and then Daniels just hoiked him over mid-wicket for six.
And not a noted batter either.
No. And then there was the pitch invasion.
Yes.
Crowd.
At Waverley.
Yeah. Yeah. The glory.
Darling, Sleep and Malone. See, that's why you are a cricket fan.
They're my
you
three.
Love that, don't
right
you?
There. There's a great story about Rick. So Rick Darling got hit in the chest by Bob Willis at Adelaide Oval, swallowed his chewing gum and started to choke, and John Embry smashed him on the chest and he coughed up the gum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I know he did get hit in the head a bit too, Rick.
He copped a few over the
So for a short career, he fit a lot in. But I've met him a few times. Really nice fella, Rick Darling.
I've never met him, unfortunately, but ripping bloke I hear. There's a great story about Rick Darling that years after he played his last test, he was up on the hill at Adelaide Oval watching a test match on the Cairns one day, absolutely loving life. And then the next day, someone got injured and we needed a 12th man. So we spent the next day in the player's box as 12th man.
And not many people have done that. No. I have done that. I've done it on the same day.
Have you?
I was injured having a few beers.
Yeah.
Remember the old bull ring, which was behind the scoreboard at the end? Oh, yeah, so you could be in there and not watch a live ball, which I got about a dozen people in there. Half were females watching cricket for the first time, a Boxing Day test match.
Right.
So I just, we'd having a few beers and I just reeled out there about halfway through the day, just looked at the score, you know, just wanted to take in the live play. Just so happens the Channel 9 cameras just happened to be spanning around. Richie sees me and he gives it the, what about that man there? He would be hurting, injured, not playing the Boxing Day test. He couldn't wait to get out there, right? But it was the first time I went out there. What happened was the Australian dressing room saw me, right?
Yeah.
Injury, bang, all of a sudden I'm 12th, well, I'm 13th man, right? 13th man, had about half a dozen beers. And what do you reckon the boy? What do you reckon the boys on the field did? As soon as they knew I was there.
I reckon a couple of injuries might have popped up.
I'll run off. So there I am at mid-off, right? Had a few beers and I'm thinking, can the ball please not come to me? Which it didn't, but not one of my highlights.
I would like a list of players who have registered a reading, a blood alcohol reading, whilst playing test cricket for Australia.
Tell you what, in the 70s, they wouldn't want to breathalyse as they were entering the arena, would they?
As they would,
I don't reckon there'd be one player available under that rule.
What if we remember they used to have a rest day?
Yeah.
What if we breath tested players the morning after the rest day?
Well, the boys were saying to me, you know, the 70s, that they'd use the rest day, not the way we would, was in have a monster that not the night before and rest on the rest day. They'd just take it easy the night before. Then they'd like have a barbecue or go out fishing or something like that. Have a massive day. So then they were hungover after the rest day. I don't think it was brought in for that, Lena.
No, I don't think it was brought in for that. So you played with a rest day?
No, I didn't. I missed it. There was a West Indies tour, I reckon, 95, and I went home injured. And that, before the test started, I think that was the last series of the rest day.
Yeah, right.
It was always day four.
I hated the rest day as a viewer.
Well, sometimes it went on a Sunday. That's when you wanted to watch cricket,
wasn't
it? What's
the point of that?
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, mate, we've got to move on. What about things you need to know in cricket this week? The Australia versus England One Day Series.
Oh, yeah, when's that kicking off? Is that
because it's been completed? It's been completed, so I'm taking it.
Right. What does
you didn't quite catch that series?
What does that tell you about One Day cricket?
Well, you tell me about what it means.
I'm a cricket fan. You know that. I love my cricket. I love the Test series this summer.
I've been enjoying
the Big Bash. But the one dayers just don't. So they don't really excite me that much anymore. And they should. You look at the first one at the G.
Jason Roy, 108.
Hit 180. Root hit a ton as well, didn't he? Got close, hit 90 or something.
Yeah.
And then we had Finchie hit a century.
We got 100 there as well. Yep.
But I don't know.
Do you feel like there's
something about it that doesn't excite me?
Yeah, you know, it used to be the shorter version and faster version of Test match cricket, but now it's got a shorter and faster version of itself. Has that put it under pressure?
It's eaten itself.
I think
alive.
We like the World Cup though, don't we? Like the 50 over World Cup is a big event.
World Cup, I'm happy with, but the problem is if you're going to have a 50 over World Cup, you need to play 50 over cricket to be good at it for the World Cup. I, you know what, if one day cricket disappeared, I'm not sure that I'd be particularly upset.
Should we play it in a different... people are talking about maybe we should play it late October, early November, around where the domestic 50 over is played. Mm. So, you know, straight after football, yeah. You know, rugby league, AFL,
yeah.
You know, people are keen to watch something on Friday, Saturday nights. Would it work there maybe better?
I reckon it possibly would work, but I always have an issue with one-day cricket then because I think to myself, we should be prepping for a test series.
Yep.
So all of our cricketers should be playing four-day cricket.
That's a good argument.
In preparation for the test series.
I'd be thinking they could still at least get two Shield games in straight after that. Mm. Ideally get three, but I'm just trying to find where it can, because it's no doubt, and we'll get on the Big Bash at the moment, but you know, I think there's only a certain amount of games of cricket people will go to.
Absolutely.
Whereas years ago, it used to be probably one day and one day of the test match.
And
after the last few years, they're probably going five or six times a year, but now we're probably trying to get them up to 8-10 times a year.
It's too much. So you've got three kids.
Yes.
Right? So you're sitting at home here. And you've got two options for the weekend. You can go to the G and watch a Big Bash game. That'll take you 4 hours.
Yep.
Or you can go to the G and watch a one-dayer, which is going to see you out of the house for 8 hours.
That's a good question.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, well...
You're going to go to the Big Bash
exactly.
game. Now, if you didn't have Big Bash, you would probably go to the one-dayer.
Yes.
But when they're on at the same time, I reckon most... Because Big Bash is very entertaining.
Yep. Yeah, and it actually was quite a good series. Australia won 20% of the games, 100% of them at the Adelaide Oval. Travis Head got 100. It's almost like...
Can we play all the games at the Adelaide Oval?
We can. Possibly, but even the crowds were down there, weren't they? Like 27,000 generally go, how good's that? But the average bash crowds are 40,000.
And I know on Sunday... was the last game on Sunday for the cricket? I think it was.
Yeah.
The last game was Sunday. And it lost the ratings to the tennis and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Okay. Now, it was going down to the wire too.
Cricket doesn't lose ratings normally, traditionally. No. But to lose to the tennis with no Australians playing and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here...
No, generally the international games do rate really well.
Hmm.
So that's a bit of alarm bells. I mean, it was great. That was the first game at the Optus Stadium in Perth, and it was a sellout, and it looked good, you know, the atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder, the Adelaide Oval was a sellout for their first one day as well.
Yeah,
whether that just creeps a little bit. And I think the Big Bash semi-final sold out in 14 minutes.
See, there you go.
55,000 people.
People love the Big Bash. I think they should separate them. They shouldn't clash.
Okay.
The one days with the big
We
bash.
Might get you working on that. But Travis Head, sorry, I said he got 100. He got 96 there. But well done to England. So 4-1 win, reversed what it was in the test series. They didn't get, actually, just see at the end of the test series and they had the marketing campaign was to have an Aussie hand with four fingers held up and the English one, which I didn't think was very appropriate. So what do you reckon the English fans were saying after that?
Right.
No, wait, come on, bring it on. Four fingers.
Flip it around.
You can fit it. But
raises a question that you posed on your Twitter.
I did the poll question.
Yes.
Which was, would the English one-day team beat the English test team in a Ashes series? And it was yes, no, or England would probably still lose. Now, we're going to have the results to that. I better make a note to that by the end of this. What would you go for?
I'd vote for England will still lose.
I think I went for C as well there. So we do have a lot of English listeners
right, okay.
on the Biology Report. And pump it up. And for you, like Trevor Bayliss was brought on as coach in some part to actually improve their white ball cricket. So
yeah.
I think that's a big tick. They're actually really explosive in one-day cricket. And I reckon a lot of it's on the back of Owen Morgan, the captain. I mean, he plays like that. But I believe, when he talks to the group, or the culture he wants is, we just keep going hard, right?
Yeah.
Let's go hard at the top. You know, we saw with Jason Roy a few times, you know, the 180, but he just goes hard. Alex Hales, Morgan himself, even Root goes hard in one-day cricket.
Yeah.
And then they don't have the greatest one bowling lineup, but it's almost like we'll post a big enough total.
Yeah.
That these bowlers can defend.
Which is what they've done. He's a pretty charismatic guy, Owen Moore.
He's a beauty.
I really like him. as opposed to, and I'm going to say something that could potentially be unpopular here, Flem.
You might get yourself banned from the Bowlology report here.
Is Steve Smith one of the most boring people to
people?
Ever
play? I thought you were talking about his batting.
No. Look, he's an unbelievable batsman. I'm going to acknowledge he's one of the greats. People have been comparing him to Bradman all summer. But I'll tell you what, when he talks, I have not been able to sit through a full Steve Smith press conference.
Because you used to, Ricky Ponting, you were there from 1 second to 90 minutes.
I was there for the lot.
You used to tape them, didn't you?
I used to record them. I'd get friends over. But Steve Smith,
oh, wow.
After 2 or 3 minutes, I find myself nodding off. He is so dull.
So in what way? Just the way he presents it? Or he doesn't say anything interesting? You don't get you want an insight?
This is how he opened his...
What do you want me to ask? What do you want me to ask you? And you be Stephen Smith.
Well, I'll be Steve Smith. Press conference. We've lost the series 4-1 to the Poms. What's your first question?
Stephen, Damien Fleming from the Bowlology Report here. You've lost the series 4-1. Mm. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's not a good result for us. And clearly, they were better than us. And we just need to be better. Great. Thanks, Steve. That's awesome. He actually said, "I think they got the better of us." That's self-evident, mate. We can read the scores.
Okay, now with all the media training you've got, all right, I'm going to ask you the same question. Anthony Lehman, you're the captain of Australia. Yep. Okay. Lehman, Damien Fleming from the Bowlology Report. You lost 4-1 in the one-day series. Your thoughts?
We had to throw those losers a bone so they'd be let back into their country. I mean, seriously, after the flogging we gave them across the Ashes series, and Davey Warner and I had a cheeky punt on the series as well.
So a bit more of that, a bit more up. I tell you what, though, besides he could do some media work, some interesting stuff there, Stephen Smith, and what a great Ashes series he had. It showed with Warner and Smith and Stark having below par series, we're just not as threatening. They are the big three. They need to dominate for us if we're going to win World Cups. And the World Cup is actually in the middle of next year in England.
And we hold the World Cup, don't we?
Yeah.
We're not really playing like World Cup
holders. No, there's been a lot of changes since then. But we're certainly not, you know, with Maxwell not playing, you know, he's a dynamic player.
Are we too reliant on too few?
Is this our issue? I mean, people that are emerging, you'd have to say Marcus Stoinis is emerging, and he looked very comfortable at number three, and he strikes at about a run of ball, and he bowls quite well.
80 off 90 or something?
Well, it was close to that. So I think he's someone that we want to keep playing. Mitchell Marsh just didn't get a big score. You know, he just got caught in between, but I think he could be quite a dominant one-day player, and with his bowling speed, and his shoulder will only get better. It's only six, eight months into that. But I think we still need Maxwell. And the question is probably Tim Payne, who's had an incredible summer and doing an okay job, or a good job, I'll say, in the one-day series. Do we need a more dynamic hitter at number seven, like an Alex Carey?
I would bring in an Alex Carey, personally. I mean, is Payne a match winner?
He's not a match winner.
With the bat?
No.
Is Carey a match winner
with the bat? I think he's a potential match winner, and he's shown just in that one knock, he opens. Mm. The trouble is these big batsmen that get picked, they're batting three, but then they've got to bat six or seven. And there's actual roles for people who can bat six, seven, go, you might only face 15 balls a game, but we want 25 runs.
Yeah.
So where are your hitting zones? I think Carey's got them.
Mm.
So he can hit powerfully square the wicket, but he's also one of the new brigade, and I know you love it, the lap sweep. He lap sweeps, reverse sweeps, and he laps.
Yeah, yeah. Mind you, Glenn Maxwell tried one of those for the Stars recently and nearly
ripped
a couple of ribs out.
Well, Tom Cooper did that and hit it into his head, and then he ended up playing three off Jai Richardson, who was bowling about 150 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, right.
But the one-day series, so a big tick to England, the way they've gone about it, you know, Roy Root, Joss Butler, their keeper.
Yeah.
He's got genuine power. Wokes was very good with bat and ball.
Oh, and who's the young fellow that took five for in the last
game? Yeah, Curran.
Tom Curran.
Who looks a better one-day cricketer than Test cricketer.
And I look at Curran, he's the type of bloke, and this is a massive compliment for him. I look at him and I think he's going to be really annoying in years to come.
Yeah.
I think Australian fans will hate him. in a future, in the same way we hated Freddie Flintoff.
But which is respect, isn't it? Because well, you're actually a for good player.
It's a compliment.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I look at him and I go, oh, I'm going to hate you in the future.
Yeah, and in some ways there's just that respect.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
Hey, what about the South African tour was picked? Cam Bancroft survived.
Yep.
Peter Hanscom's back. The forgotten duck, John Holland, he's back.
He's back.
So he doesn't get picked for the subcontinent tours, but he's going to South Africa. But it was explained, I don't mind their explanation, is if they go to the subcontinent, they play two spinners. It's obviously the Lion. GOAT.
Yep.
And Agar is a batting all-rounder. And but they're worried in South Africa, if the GOAT went down in the warm-up, who plays? Well, the duck plays, Johnny Holland.
Oh, there you go. So he's the backup for the GOAT.
For the GOAT.
In South Africa. Yeah, the selection story for me is the Sayers, the Chad Sayers story. So Chad Sayers, on the numbers, I'm a South Australian, I would pick him.
Yes.
He looks to me as though he's done enough.
Unbelievable stats.
So on the one hand, I would say that. On the other hand, and you know, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, Flem, he complained about not getting a call from the selectors. Surely you only get a call if you're getting dropped or if you're getting picked.
Yes. Well, that was
the explanation. And he's not getting dropped and he's not getting picked. So I don't know why you would expect a phone call.
That's the explanation from Trevor Holmes that is the way to go. He has been 12th man. He's been around the group. 13th man, I think, up at the Gabba.
But he wasn't in the team.
He wasn't actually in the team.
Yeah.
So, but and I think it needs to be explained. The way I'm reading through it was... Jai, and everyone's going, how does Jai Richardson get picked ahead of Chad Sayers? Jai Richardson's played 5 first-class games and going okay.
Yeah.
But the explanation is he's the backup express bowler. So if Stark or Cummins and that break down, they're going to go with speed. And if Josh Hazlewood breaks down, they're going to go with a Bird. So Bird is actually ahead of Chad Sayers.
Yeah, but
the hard thing for me is...
Do you buy that, though? So let's say Cummins goes down.
Yep.
Okay. So you could bring in Richardson, who's a direct replacement.
Yep.
Or Sayers, different type of bowler, but still could be a replacement. Sayers is a much better bowler. Well, Sayers would probably take more wickets than Richardson.
Well...
Even if he's a bit similar to...
it's only similar to Hazlewood, but Hazlewood's 10 kilometres... faster there. I've got no doubt. The hard thing for me with Sayers, I want to see him play in Test match cricket. Because I think in the right conditions, like in South Africa, he will get wickets.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like he bowls a lot like Philander. And who gets the most wickets for South Africa?
Is it Philander?
Philander.
Yeah, there we go.
Who bowls 128, 129, hits the seam. So the hard thing for Chad is just because he's not playing doesn't mean he's not Test match class. But the hard thing is the guys ahead of him are guns, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I think it was Bird or Sayers, but at some stage I'd love to see Chad. I mean, next time they go to England, you know, New Zealand, those sort of countries, I think Sayers can get the job done.
He should be there. I read an article that suggested he's not one of the boys, which is why he's not getting picked.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't played and you're not one of the boys. You haven't given him much of a chance, have they? You give him a test match and then... I don't think he's one of the boys.
If you don't get invited to the party, he can't be one of the boys.
So I don't like hearing that. But so good luck, because I reckon it will be Quicks first Quicks, because South Africa have got Morkel, Philander, Rabada, Nagidi, I think his name is. He got, I think, 7 wickets on debut. So he bowls a bit like Rabada. Mm. And Dale Steyn probably won't get there. So their pace attack's awesome, isn't it, South Africa's?
Hey, and you know what? If we end up a batsman short over there, Hodgie could just step out of the South African jungle.
Oh, he's just there.
And into the squad.
Well, maybe this is part of the big plan. How big would this be?
To get himself back
in. I still think he's brave to have his appendicitis taken out if he actually wasn't suffering pain.
You don't need an appendix in the South African jungle. Hey, Flem, are there going to be water issues in South Africa? Aren't they a month
Cape
of having...
Town.
They're a month of having no water.
No, no. So it's going to be back to the 1970s. Just drinking beer. Drinking beer.
It's the VB tour.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? It's in Cape Town, I believe, that they're going to run out of water. Yeah.
Yeah, completely out of water.
All right. What about the Australian under-19s in the final of the World Cup versus India this Saturday? Fed three, so good luck to them. But the big news was in the quarterfinal, England bowled us out for 127. So we're gone. We're out of there. The Poms are going to beat us. And then Lloyd Popey, our red-headed ginger leg-spinning freak, took 8 for 35. I was watching it. It was engaging. And he got 6 of them with his wrong-un. Did you have a look at it?
So I'm guessing they weren't picking the wrong-un.
I'd say that's a fair assumption. And Skull, Kerry O'Keefe, this was his summary.
Yes.
Summary of it. White smoke coming from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. Cricket has a new Pope. Lloyd Pope, a Jaffa-headed 18-year-old leg spinner from Adelaide, took a lazy 8 for his wrong-un, accounted for 6 poms.
There we go. And I can tell you that when he took that 6 for, he was... I think he was the second or third trending topic in Australia on Twitter.
Wow.
And I reckon South Australians would mostly account for that because, as I said before, Flep, when we get a glimmer of hope, we cling to it in South Australia. A
glimmer of Pope.
A glimmer of Pope.
And he plays at Kensington, my old club, too.
Oh, there we go. He's clearly a little gun and hopefully it's not too long before he's playing some... Shield cricket.
Oh, definitely. And we've seen in the Big Bash wrist spinners a goal, particularly if they can spin it both ways. So I could see him playing Big Bash next year. But but we also want we want test match leggies, don't we?
Oh, we absolutely want test match leggies. Tell me,
they're playing India too.
From a punter's perspective, when did the change? I remember spinners you'd never picked a spinner in a one day game.
No.
20 years ago.
No, you just, Kepler Bessels was our fifth bowler. But when I was growing up,
But now they're opening to bowling. When did that change?
Well, remember the 1992 World Cup, New Zealand, the late great Martin Crowe, innovator with Deepak Patel, opened the bowling. And that was like, that's just changed things. So in the subcontinent, it's been around for years. Mm. But in T20 cricket, remember when it started going, well, this would be the end of spinners, you know, smaller grounds, bigger bats. But they're not only surviving, they're thriving. And this World Cup, this Big Bash, it's gone another level, do you reckon? Like Rashid Khan, Fawad Ahmed.
Spinners are but you look at the stats, spinners dominate the bowling stats.
In the power play, when there's only two fielders out.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's been fantastic. But in some ways, it's a bit of a kick up the backside for quicks. That you've got to be able to do what Ben Lachlan and Andrew Tai does.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? You've got to be able to create that pressure or create doubt. As soon as you create doubt to the batsman that they don't know which way it's spinning, they're not going to run down the pitch, are they?
That's right. You create, would you call it an avenue of apprehension?
I'd say the avenue of apprehension. I'd say the hallway of hesitation. Right. The laneway of liquidation it could lead to. You can come up with, I'd help that.
I'll let you know. Can I mention as well the 92 World Cup? Because I always think about this from the 92 World Cup. Pakistan won the World Cup, and it was the Benson and Hedges World Cup. And Imran Khan spent his acceptance speech talking about a cancer charity that he works for. And it was the Benson and
Which
Hedges.
Which he later built, yeah. It was a great Benson time. It was World a crazy Cup. Time, wasn't it?
It really was.
Okay, on to the Big Bash. What about this? The semi-finals this week, Perth Scorchers versus the Hurricanes Thursday. The Strikers, your mob, against the Renegades on Friday. And the Perth Scorchers, they're like the Roger Federer, aren't they? They just get to the final every year.
They had so many
injuries too, but don't worry about that. A bit of Aussie selection. No Coulter Nile on Berendorf. Okay, we'll just... put in Richardson, Matty Kelly, Joel Parris, who's unfortunately injured again. And their tactics are, you know, if they bowl first, they'll just smother the batsman and be able to chase it. If they bat first, they'll just don't go nuts, you know, until later in the innings with Ashton Turner and Agar.
How tactically different are all the teams in the Big Bash?
Yeah, they are different. I mean, Adelaide Strikers are a bit different. They're the one team that's happy to bat first. And they're like a mini Perth Scorchers. So it doesn't matter what we score. You know, they don't go super hard, you know, Weatherald and Carey.
Yeah.
But then progress. You know, if we get 150, 160, we'll back Rashid Khan, Stanlake, Siddle, Lachlan and Neeza to actually strangle the batsman and defend it there. Whereas most teams are happy to chase, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the tactics... And I reckon the tactics full stop for... A format that was just all about smashing the ball and bowling as fast as you can. It's almost like set plays every ball. And you certainly notice it when teams, you feel like they don't know what they're doing because then it goes back to the way it was played 7 years ago.
Can I, you know, the is a level of predictability coming into T20 cricket. Now, because I reckon the predictability in one day cricket has kind of killed it a bit.
Oh, as in, well, as in just keeping your wickets in hand.
And yeah, you kind of know what's going to happen over 0 to 10. You know what's going to happen over 10 to 30.
Well, I think England have thrown that out. They go hard from the ball one, but most other teams will do what you're saying.
Yeah.
Just very methodical.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of that in the bash, I reckon. You know, besides, say, the Hurricanes, Darcy Short, who just goes, I think his strike rate's 173. So he won't be playing this game. But how good are these new names? And Jofra Archer, what a sensational name. And he actually backs it up with the ball.
Jofra Archer is a very strong name. I like the old fellas, though. Shane Watson.
Boom. I
tell you what, he's still doing all right, isn't he? And Mitchell Johnson has picked up an IPL contract.
But also,
Mitchell Johnson, is he late 40s, nearly 50? Is he Mitchell Johnson?
I'll tell you what, he still looks fit. No, he's only about 35, but interesting for him, he likes taking the new ball. You know, for Australia at times, he bowled first change. He was worried the way it was going. But I like how you still need experienced heads out there.
Without a doubt.
Hodgie's still going well. He's in hospital. But
hey, what happened? He's on his way to the jungle.
So what do you like about the bash?
What happened to the Stars, by the way?
We're just regrouping.
Did you know I was interested in this?
We finished last.
The Stars scored the second most amount of runs.
Are you sure about that?
Total runs for the whole series.
I wouldn't have known that.
Only behind the Hurricanes.
I'd assume the bowling's not too good there.
I'm going to say that might be an issue.
You know what's happened there too. I reckon we've batted first a lot. So the team that would beat us couldn't score their maximum runs because they were beating us in about the 16th, 17th over.
Yeah, right.
Hey, good trivia from you. Hey, what else did you like, dislike?
Well, the highlight without question from the series was the catch of the century.
Oh.
Adelaide Strikers, Lachlan Wetherill combined for that. But what was a beautiful piece of symmetry in the same way that they combined for the greatest catch ever, you and Mark Howie Howard combined for the greatest piece of commentary to go with it.
I tell you what, it was just, it was amazing. I haven't experienced that much at the cricket. There was a real buzz in the commentary box afterwards, like disbelief that that happened. But also the crowd, like 40,000 people just going, did that just happen? What do you feel about, so Lachlan doesn't get any credit in the scoreboard for that. Should it be
Court
Lachlan / Wetherald bowled, who bowled it again? Can't remember.
Bravo,
hit it.
It was Strikers, I don't know, who was it, Siddle?
Lachlan?
No, Lachlan was...
Because if he bowled it, then ran to find me and pushed it back in, that should. But do you reckon that should be credit, like Lachlan / Wetherill?
Yeah, your problem there, though, is you'll get like, remember Alan Border batting for Australia to save the test? And he edged that one to slip and it was juggled by Gooch across to Botham, was it?
No. Botham bowled, so it was Miller, Tavray to Miller.
Tavray to Miller at slip. Now, do you credit Tavray? Because he dropped it.
No, they have to be assisted. So then guess what comes into place? The third umpire again. So we're going to waste up time. Was it assisted or unassisted? No, that highlight for me, loved it.
Yeah, that was massive. I've got a rule suggestion for Big Bash.
Here we go.
We like to keep it exciting. We love the crowd catches.
Yes.
We love the crowd catches.
Yep.
Let's say I'm batting, you're bowling. I hit one into the crowd for six.
I'd say it'd be a hook shot because I'd want to hit you in the head.
And I'd almost clear the stadium, right? Someone catches it in the crowd, then you as the bowler can say, that is, you're out. That's out. But you get not six, you get 10 for it.
Okay.
So you get sent out. So it's 10 and out. But you've got the option.
Okay.
You can take 10 and out.
There has been calls.
With a catch in the crowd.
Yeah.
Or you just.
So like six and out in the backyard.
Or you, yeah.
Like a 10
like
and out.
Six and out in the backyard. Or you just say, nah, fine, we'll keep bowling.
But it's still a six.
It's still a six.
Okay.
So you take a six and the batsman stays in, or you take 10 and out.
Because there has been calls that once it gets into the second, third tier, it should be an eight. Bring back the eight.
Oh, right.
Because years ago, it was only a four. You only hit a six if it went out of the ground. And I believe it was Joe Darling, South Australia's own. Yes.
Test Rick, Rick Darling's grandfather?
I think it was. Yeah. In the way that you're the same cousin as Darren, you're Darren Lehman's cousin. He hit one out of the Adelaide Oval, I think, and that was the first six of all time because they had to go out of the ground, not over the boundary. So they had to make big ones then. Maybe
I remember Rod Marsh hitting one through the Victor Richardson gates.
Well, was that when he hit 26 off and over off Lance Cairns?
Yeah, could have been.
Remember that as a kid? He just kept slogging him. And he was caught on the fence. That could have been almost six, that last ball. See, I'm a big fan of if the crowd catches, that they keep it, like in baseball. And they threw that around in I think, BBL 2 or 3, and it didn't get over. Like the players weren't happy, even though Cricket Australia said, we'll have 16 different balls.
It's 20 overs. How much shine have you taken off the ball by over four?
Well, I'd like to see that. Imagine getting signed by, you know, the batsman. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Lee, mate, good innovation. Three votes for me. Right, I'm going to do my domestic three votes.
Oh, yeah.
One vote, Ashton Turner. Okay, yeah. He didn't score the most runs, but I reckon he played four match-winning innings. 52 not out, 45, 70, 50 not out, a strike rate of 183. Once he gets his shoulder right, he's just got Australian potential in all three forms. And we get to interview him. Very impressive young man.
How old?
I'm 47. No, he's 25.
You look great.
Two votes. You'll like this one. Alex Carey, 425. Yes. He had a big summer last summer. He didn't, you know, that Australia A tour didn't go. Could he back it up? He's backed it up, big boy. Strike rate of 143. Kept really well. And three votes. I think you'll be happy with this. Darcy Short.
Yeah. Yeah.
That 122 not out, a record. 504 runs, T20 Australian selection. Bowls well, fields well.
Is that BBL season for him the most dominant season by an individual so far in the BBL?
It'd have to be. It's the most runs, and it's the way that he's done it. Even his traditional shots, he reminds me a lot of Dave Warner. I'd like to. He bats in the middle order for Western Australia and bowls a lot of his Chinamans. Maybe it's time to see if we can get him up the order. Because it's those type of players that excite
everyone.
Okay, my three imports. I'll give one vote to, doesn't have the greatest stats, but his impact, Mohammad Nabi from Afghanistan. I thought he's was sensational.
Good name too.
And a match-winning name. Economy rate of 5.77 when he bowled in the power plays. Handy runs against the stars. You know,
how long until Afghanistan are making a little impact on the world test scene? Because
middle of next year, they play India in their first test.
Yeah, right.
Because their under-19 team got to the semi.
Yeah.
Imagine if they played T20 cricket against us next summer in three games. You put Rashid Khan, who I'll mention in a minute, Mo Nabi.
Who's the keeper that I fell in love with during the T20 World Cup?
I'm not sure of his name.
He was...
So two votes, Jofra Archer.
Yeah.
15 wickets. His skill set's amazing. Loved it. Be interesting. The West Indies are now trying to get him back, but it sounds like he wants to qualify for England. Yeah. And three votes, Rashid Khan. Yeah. 17 wickets. Innovative batting when he got the chance there. But I don't remember an import coming in and dominating like Khan and Jofra Archer have.
He's done it beautifully. Isn't it beautiful?
Okay, you've done the new rule. Last one. What about the IPL? What about the cash? Stokes, 2.4 million.
Hey, how do the players... Do they sit around and watch this? Like, you know, we see vision of footballers watching the AFL draft. Is that how the players watch this auction happen?
We had to, even on Channel 10, we were feeding it down to the, boundary line to Ross Kelly and how much they were going for. Because even though they say they don't concentrate on it, they know it. And then Darcy Short got out for a duck to Ben Dunk, the part-timer. Well, but he still went for 800,000. Lynn, 1.8.
I wonder how influenced they are by... Oh, well, Darcy Short's had a good season. But
that is totally influenced. The ones that I reckon...
Would the duck have influenced that? His duck have influenced that?
No, it was already gone. See, about three or four Australian coaches. You know, Moody, Ponting, Hodge.
That's
got to help. I think the Big Bash obviously helped Jofra Archer. Because, you know, Tom Curran... The Englishman that got Pfeiffer, he was at the Hurricanes, but when he got picked for England, they had to find someone. They found Jofra Archer. And as good as Tom Curran's going, he couldn't have influenced this Big Bash like Archer.
Yeah.
So no doubt his price has gone up there. Smith and Warner retained for $2.4 million. That is a mile away from... You know what I got for my first game for Victoria? One-day game.
What did you get? Well, so this is...
So 1988-89.
Your first big V was a one-dayer.
Yep, 1988-89.
88-89.
Guess how much I got for a one-day game.
What are you, 19 at the time? 18. You're 18 years old.
Big mullet.
You probably what you get.
Living the dream. Just nicked out Digger Hildage.
I'm going to be generous and say you got $500.
Okay, $500. So after the game, we've won. So I think we're progressing to the semi-final.
Oh, so you did get 500.
No, I've finished the story. Right, Ken Jacobs, lovely Kenny Jacobs, our CEO, gave me an envelope and said, Damien, well done. We've already taken the tax out. Slipped open the envelope.
Yes.
Take out the note.
The note.
Which was $50. So we got $75 a game. $50 note. And at that stage, the depot, it might have been called Benson's then. Yeah. So I thought, you beauty, you know, a schnitzel, chicken schnitzel, a couple of beers. I'll have change. Yes. $50 a game, tax taken out. How far away is that from the $2.4 million that these boys are getting?
It's
do they appreciate it?
It's not bad, do they?
How many schnitzels could they get for $2.4 million at the precinct?
I suspect they appreciate it. It is crazy money. Davey Warner, so what? He's getting 2.4 there.
He was retained. They didn't want to take the chance. He captains too at the Sunrisers, Hyderabad. Tom Moody's the captain.
I see Stokes got 2.4.
Yeah, regulation there, wasn't it?
He's running security as well, is he? For who did Stokes?
Well, the thing is, that might be 20%. 20% security from Stokesy. But be provided.
It could indeed. Hey, tell me this: we get so much money in T20 these days. Glenn Maxwell, is he just going to hit the road on the T20 tour now? Because he's not getting picked for Australia. They're off him for whatever reason. And I heard an interview with Trevor Holmes saying, we want players. He was asked this question. Are you worried about him chasing the T20 money? And he said, we want players who are committed to Australia. And I thought, well, mate, he is committed. He's just not getting picked. So what do you expect him to do?
It's a hard one because, you know, Maxi does want to wear the baggy green, but he did just slip out in an interview a couple of days ago going, I need to look at my options. If I meet with the Australian selectors and they say, listen, you're not a chance to play test match cricket, well, you've got options these days and you'll make more money doing it. Mm. But we do not want to see players prematurely retiring from four-day cricket, test match cricket, to chase the money. Now, sometimes you get a Sean Tate whose body didn't hold up to four or five-day cricket. He makes that call. But Maxie's only 29. But I totally agree. They've got to give him some incentive too. Like, I think he's in career best form in red ball cricket and white ball cricket. And he's only just got back into the one-day team.
But I thought that's, when Steve Smith was in the press conference and said, he needs to work a bit harder on the training, I thought... That was bang out of order, I thought.
It wasn't great. Smith had told Maxwell, though, if he'd already told him, then you go public, I can live with it. If he hadn't spoken to Maxwell about his work ethic or the way he trained and you say it publicly, that's a no-go zone.
No.
You don't go there.
No.
So I'm assuming there was some communication. And they caught up for a coffee later on, which nothing could be come out of that. But
I believe during that coffee, Glenn Maxwell fell asleep halfway through the conversation. That's Steve Smith's hidden skill. If anyone's got insomnia, watch the Steve Smith press conference.
So what's his nickname now? Like one of your favourite obscure players?
Well, I mentioned Peter Sleep earlier, whose nickname was Sounder. I think we should pass that nickname on to Steve Smith.
Jeez, you're harsh.
Steve Sounder, Sounder Sleep Smith.
Hey, Limo, in the T20s work for cricket and every other sport's trying to do quicker stuff, and we see it with netball and golf and footy's got AFLX. What about comedians? Do they have a T20 a format?
A T20.
Could they get a T20 format?
I once, as a to see how it would work, used to go on stage and say, look, I'm in a real hurry. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you all my setups. And then if I've got time, I'll get through as many punchlines as I can. So I would go do 20 joke setups and then run through the punchlines. So people are trying to remember that.
So how did it go?
I was a bit weird. Interesting concept. It's a bit weird. I guess the Melbourne Comedy Festival gala, they have about 30 acts who do 3 minutes
each.
Oh,
jeez.
So that's probably...
They're punching that out. That is T20.
That of T20.
So what about, on a serious note, what about the preparation for that? Knowing that you've only got 3 minutes as opposed to a 45-minute hour.
Yeah, so you're not telling stories there. You're just banging out.
One line.
You want to get as many jokes as you can in the 3 minutes. So you're doing all your shortest, funniest gear.
So storytellers don't go on there then?
No.
No, because they do... what you did that previous thing where they only get halfway through the setup and that's enough time. Go,
that's it, I'm done. Trust me, guys. When I say the rest of this is amazing.
You'll have to come to my show.
My show to hear.
Actually, that could work. Do a heap of setups in your 3 minutes.
The punchlines will be at the town hall this weekend in my comedy festival show.
Hey, talk about punchlines and one-liners. I like this. Announced 2 days ago by Cricket Australia is the World Cup 2020 is in 2020. I like it. In Australia.
I love it.
The World Cup 2020 is in the year 2020 in Australia. And what I like about it is... it's in Adelaide, Brisbane, Canberra, Geelong, Hobart, Melbourne, Perth and Sydney. Mm. But there's a women's tournament as a standalone in February to March. And they want the final in March on International Women's Day.
I love it.
How good is that?
It's massive.
And then later on in the year, in October, November period, it'll be the men's 2020 in the year 2020.
And they're already suggesting that this women's crowd could be the crowd that attends that final. Could be the biggest crowd to ever attend a women's sporting event.
Ooh, yeah.
Globally.
Okay. Well, we want to smash that. What's the record
in Australia is a game of women's cricket that was played at the Adelaide Oval in, I think, 1929, and the crowd was 41,000 at Adelaide Oval. Now, I'm not sure...
That's good research.
I can't recall who was playing who, but it was a game at Adelaide Oval, 1929.
Yeah, no scores? Was there any controversy? Or
Well.
Do you want me to just ad lib a little bit while you Google
just,
that one there?
Just while I start Googling. There we go. Oh, I've put in 1029.
No. Okay, we'll move on from there. No, but that'd be sensational on International Women's Day. Let's hope they can get 80, 90,000 and break that record. Limo, can you concentrate now? Because it is time for our guide to, and first up, we've got your guide to the Adelaide Oval Hill.
It's one of the few hills left in cricket.
Yes.
It is a glorious, glorious hill. I can't tell you how relieved I was when I saw the plans for the stadium rebuild, and they were protecting the hill, keeping the old scoreboard.
So, is the hill heritage listed, or is it just the scoreboard and the fig trees? And as a consequence, the hill stays in.
Possibly. I'm not sure of the technicalities around that. I mean, the scoreboard is absolutely heritage listed, and they can't cut that fig tree down.
No.
So perhaps you're right. Perhaps
what about the guide? You used to live there. This was your home away from home.
I remember there a lot. When my dad first took me there in 1979, we sat on the hill. This is before it got a bit willing, though. You know, it was more family friendly back then. But over the years, it became more of a young dude type hangout.
Not too far from the bar.
Yeah, it was. So here are my tips for the hill.
Bang.
There's two things you get a lot of on the hill. One's good, one's not so good. Sun and beer. So you want to sit out of the sun and near the beer. So my tip is to get there early and you want to get a spot in the shade.
Yes.
Because as an 18-year-old...
What happened?
Well, I'd 18, 19, I'd sit there with my shirt off for a whole day in 35-degree heat and just drinking. And then we'd go out afterwards. I sit in the sun these days for 10 minutes. I'm ready to collapse.
And there wouldn't be slip-slop slapping back then, I wouldn't have thought.
No, this was back in the day when you'd get deliberately burnt three times at the start of summer to build up a base.
We're all there, though. We all did that. Why did we do that?
Because oh, we're idiots.
Was it coconut oil too? Yeah, so that's basically like oil on a barbecue.
You're basting
wasn't it?
Yourself before you go out in the sun. So get in the shade, but get near the bar because the queues for the bar there under the scoreboard are outrageous. Now, a lot of people walk past the concourse there, right? And over the years, I've been there while people have yelled at all sorts of horrible things to people walking past the concerts. I say, befriend.
Yes.
Befriend, don't offend.
Okay. Right?
So be nice to the people walking past. Because often...
That's a good slogan.
Befriend, don't offend. That's my tip
That's
for
a slogan.
The year.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a slogan.
I like it.
Put it on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Because people, blokes would get drunk and think it's funny to yell whatever to yeah. whoever's walking past.
Not appropriate.
Not appropriate. No. Don't do that. Have some good jokes in your skyrocket ready to go.
What sort of stuff? Sledging the opposition players?
Sledging opposition players yep. is good. Sledging your own players, if it's funny enough,
yep.
Is good. If the Barmy Army's there, of yep. course you want to sledge the Barmy Army. The greatest joke I've ever seen on the hill at Adelaide Oval is a very good friend of mine, Charlie Hill-Smith. It was David Boone's last game of cricket at Adelaide Oval. It was a one-day game, I think. And so my mate, for Booney's farewell appearance at the Adelaide Oval, took a big banner and he got there early. He put it up on the hill and the banner read, "We will never forget you, Darren Boone." Well, the people on the hill didn't quite understand.
Did they do what your slogan said? No.
They did not befriend.
No, there was befriend.
So he had guys, people throwing cups at him. Blokes were trying to wrestle the banner off him and tear it in half.
And how did he go? Was he resolute? Was he just...
No, oh, he was resolute, yeah. So, guys, it's a joke. It's David, you idiot. So they're my tips for the hill at Adelaide Oval.
I like it. Also, you know what else we've got here? We got our guide overnight. It's gone viral on Twitter.
Actually, can I give you one more tip?
Oh, yeah. Because
This is really annoying for scoreboard staff. Don't throw tennis balls in the little gaps of the old scoreboard there. You know how they have the little bits of the scoreboard
no,
open?
That's not that smart.
That used to be a bit of a game where people are trying to lob tennis balls into the gaps in the scoreboard.
But there's people working in
yes,
there.
Yes, it's their work environment. Don't throw tennis balls
in there. I think
they get
paid in slabs. Okay, next up, our guide to subtle match fixing. And it's going everywhere on social media at the moment. The ICC Anti-Corruption Unit, big surprise is they're investigating a match between the Ajmal All-Stars League recently in the UAE. Mm. And we're just watching some...
Yeah.
And the commentary is quite outstanding, isn't it? But
there's a number of ways you can...
What is there? I mean, there is some run-outs and stumpings. Yeah. Is there just one incident, Limo? Is there anything that stands out to you?
Yeah, okay. There's a run-out that stands out, Flynn, because if you're... Let's have a look at this. Okay, if you're match-fixing on a run... Okay, so there's two blokes here. What they've done is they clearly want to get run out. They've both got to the middle of the pitch for the run-out, and it looks like they could still make it. So they look at each other and go, oh, what are we going to do? And then they start running in opposite directions. And then they realize, no, we've got to run in the same direction. So they run back to run in the same direction. It's like they mixed up their mix-up.
It's almost like who's supposed to get run out here?
Yeah, we're not sure.
So subtle match fixing is be clear before each ball who has to get out.
Who's getting run out. And also don't just lean on your front foot and pop one to short cover and then amble through for a single. Because there's not a run there. And also...
Do you reckon there's some alarm bells that might show?
Yeah. If you're going to get stumped yeah. in match fixing, I don't know, have a shot. There's a spinner bowling. And the bloke's just let... He's danced 3 metres down the pitch and just let
Didn't
it go.
Play a shot.
Didn't even play
so
a shot.
So what you're suggesting is don't run down and leave.
Yeah.
But what I'm loving is that the right arm off spinner... He's going off. He's oblivious to it, isn't he?
He thinks he's nailing them. Well, there's one particular stumping where the batsman completely... He has a shot, completely misses the ball, but makes no effort to get back into his ground.
On that one there, he misses the ball and looks at his bat as opposed to trying to get back. So...
It was... You know when the... who was the young Pakistani fellow that no-balled by about 6 feet? In England that time?
Oh, yeah. Well, Muhammad Amir and, what was it? Asif.
I think a bit of subtlety
yeah.
is important
so,
in match fixing.
Yeah, I'd say to be subtle, I'd say they might be in a little bit of trouble, these boys. But that's our guy to subtle match fixing. hey, what about this one? I've given you the job. This is normally Hodgie's job. Everywhere, since we started this, celebs are scared everywhere. There's been a decrease of self-promotion by 80% because they know if they self-promote on social media, Bradley Hodge will get him. But this week, it's Limo's Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Have you got some votes, please? Some nominations. I'll do the votes.
You know what, Flem? I've done no homework at all. No homework. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on Instagram and I'm just going to search Dave Hughes.
What are you trying to say? That? But he had his show debuted last night.
Where's Hughesy? Hey, show. Hughesy, we have a problem. Yeah, that did debut last night. Let's see if he's given it any promotion. Let's go over. This is... Oh, look, this is his latest Instagram post. Hey, Perth, I'm loving the fact I'll be at Heath Ledger Theatre Thursday to Saturday this week. Come on down and I'll solve your problems. So he's giving himself two plugs. He's played his TV show and his live gigs in that.
Yeah, so that's live gig and TV gig.
And TV show. Next up, he's posted a screenshot of a text message conversation with his mum. Looking forward to watching your new show. I'm sure it will go well. Mum, kiss. And then he says, thanks, Mum. Then after that, really enjoyed the show. Great panel too. Very funny. Congratulations, Dave.
Is this a private conversation or can everyone see this?
It's a private conversation that he's screenshot and then put on Instagram. so there he goes. He's giving himself another pump.
It's going to be hard not to get maximum votes there.
Now it's a picture of him with his dog and he says, Teddy says, thanks for watching and for all the love. Panel and guests were brilliant.
I know, dogs don't talk.
Right. And here he is again. This is Hughesy, we have a problem, starts after the jungle. So it's really just...
So they're very subtle, a bit like the domestic teams in Dubai. I've got one from my mate. Who's going into the jungle, Bradley Hodge. It's his segment, but he tweeted out, just completed a final training session before we head into Adelaide. Could be time to turn back the clock and get me up the order at Renegades against my old club at Strikers. Time to turn it on for some old fans. So he sent this out there, but guess what? From his hospital bed.
From his hospital bed.
So it's a sort of self-promotion, but
that's a self-promotion.
You know you're not going to be there.
Who else have we got here?
While you're looking, I've got one for Nick Del Santo.
Oh, yeah. What have you got for Nick Aussie Del Rules Santo? Football.
Taking a selfie, playing golf. He goes, all having a great time this long weekend at Bamboogle Dunes. Bing.
Here we
Hashtag
go.
Golf. And also puts in at Cobra Golf.
Oh, freebies. Here we go. Well, speaking of golf, I'm just going to get Jack Gunston up. Because I know...
This could be a first nomination for Jack.
This is his first post that I get. Thank you, Emirates, for the tickets to witness the GOAT. Hashtag Emirates return.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's just... They're just safe ones. You know, they're not big votes, but he'll get there.
And then his very next post. Another polo in the books with Team Jagged.
Okay. See, his votes are starting... He's starting to get into Hughesy territory here.
Then his next post... it's him and some friends playing tennis and it says, game set, see you in 2018 at Hotel Sorrento.
He might actually get maximum votes here, Jack.
Oh, tell you what, he's not doing bad. Oh, how's this one? What a beast. Made the drive very enjoyable to Bundalong last weekend. Audi Zagami. At Audi Zagami.
Is that all, Jack?
Yes.
All right. Now, I've got to do my votes here, Limo.
Okay.
So the easy ones are, I reckon Hodgie just a little one vote on that occasion. I reckon just a little subtle self-promotion and he tricked people. People thought, he's going to bat up the order and all that, and he's always been injured. So I'll give him just the one vote. Two to Nicky Dell. Sneaky little at Bamboogle. I reckon it could have been a freebie. Cobra Golf, freebie.
He's got a freebie. Yeah.
Three votes. I'm going to give Hughesy three votes, even though there was nominations for live gigs, TV gigs, using his mum and dog.
Oh, and I got to
for
say,
his TV show.
His wife did a post as well herself.
And his wife.
Him. Yeah.
So I'll give him, I'm going to give him four votes. We're not even giving a three voter, but five for Jack, because how many sponsors did he plug there? There's Emirates, there's Polo, there's Sorrento Hotel, there's Audi Cars.
I feel as though he doesn't.
Is there anyone that he's left out?
I feel as though he doesn't post unless he's given someone a pump up.
So that's the Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Well done to Husey and Jack Gunston. First votes to them. Hey, Limo, thanks a lot for joining us here. Hey, how's the book going, by the way?
Hey, the book's going well. Yeah. As far as I know. I think people are reading it.
Hey, good reviews? Any good, bad reviews?
Good reviews. What have I had so far? Mick Malloy told me that it's a great book for the toilet. Now,
which
now Mick assures me that's a compliment because he spends a lot of time on the toot. So he says that's good. The thing I love is people saying to me, oh, I've read my chapter. So people just buy the book and look for references to themselves.
Do you have all the names at the back?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So I got to read the book.
The very last paragraph at the back of my book is an apology to all my comedy, TV and radio friends for not having an index so they can't look themselves up.
But you know.
But I know.
Because you do it and I do it as well.
We do it. We all do it. Mum said there's too much swearing in the book.
Yeah, that worries me.
And Lawrence Mooney said he's slowly getting through it as he reads chapters at airports. He refuses to buy it. So every time he gets to an airport, he'll read a page or two.
He's funny. Well, he would be flying a little bit too. He's doing a very good impersonation of our PM, isn't he?
PM.
That's a must.
He could. I'll tell you what, if the PM goes down with appendicitis, we could see Lawrence Mooney.
Hey, our poll question. Parliament. What about our poll question? Would the English one day team beat the English test team in a test series? And the results are, we've got a fair few votes too. 1,530.
Wow.
Boom. And the least one was no, with 20%.
Not a great endorsement.
The winner is England would still lose 40%. But it was close. 39% said yes. I'd be interested if I could break that down to English fans. I reckon, and we do have a lot of English people that listen to this.
Yep.
I reckon they would back their one day team over their test team. It's more dynamic.
I genuinely would.
If there are World Cups in England next year, I'd put James Anderson in because in English conditions he'll be swinging the ball around.
Yeah.
But that'd be just about it from their test team.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, mate, we've been getting thousands and thousands of listeners. It's been growing, this podcast, but I just want to have a little shout out to the 41 people in Japan.
You've got 41 Japanese listeners.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Last week. I would like to, and then I started to follow the Japanese cricket club on Twitter, and I'd like to give you an update of the finals, but they tweet in Japanese, so I don't know what's going on. But big news, and I know you're all over this, big news in Japanese cricket is that former Japanese professional baseballer Shogo Kimura is swapping to cricket.
I had a feeling he might. I just had a feeling. I was.
What
I felt as though.
Was he starting to let the ball go a little bit in baseball? He put cricket pads on when he was up there to bat.
He looked distracted, and you're right. He was putting cricket pads on. He was going out there with the grey nickels. And when he started running to first base and then back to home plate.
Yeah.
That's when I thought, he's
going to. And then calling his own force. He'd do it four times and just rat like that.
He's dead giveaway.
So good luck to him. We'll keep you updated with, I might even get him on. Shogo Kimura. Why not?
Please.
Let's do that. So make sure you listen, subscribe. Good luck to the Big Bash teams, the women and the men in the semi-finals. We'll be wrapping up all that next week. And to Limo, thank you very much for joining us on the Bowlology Report.
Flem, it has been an absolute pleasure. And can I say, on behalf of all of us, the best of luck to Hodgie in the jungle.
Yeah, Hodgie in the
jungle.
Can
he do it?
We'll give you an update from there. To take us out, should it be DJ Bravo? But we're in white ball cricket one day series mode. I think it's Michael Bevan. Bevo, take us out, mate.
Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.